Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad about that? Yeah. Mom and Dad bought me this at a yard sale when I was, well, it's been about 15 years ago. But they bought me a plastic saxophone like that many years ago when I was a little bitty boy. I used to stand at Lloyd Whistler's knee at Bristow and wonder about what it would be like to play a saxophone. And Jesus lets dreams come true. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, Jesus can make your dreams come true. So I'm going to try to play it for you tonight. It's a soprano sax too, and it's another one of them little boogers to play. They say that soprano saxes are the hardest to play. I believe it. He keeps me singing, but... It's been requested I do this. I hardly know what to do, but I'm going to try it. I know everyone loves Brother Joy Height, and I can't play just like him, but I've done this a few times, and I've done it for him at Ava, Missouri here a while back, and he liked to crack up. So I'm going to try to play like Brother Joy. No one knows Brother Joy and like he plays like y'all do. He is an awesome saxophone player. So, oh, my goodness. I better not do this at all. Amen. I heard that Brother Joy wanted me to do this, so I'll better put that in there. Marty, go start the motor home.
That would be quite a ride down the hill, I guarantee you. Well, I've sure enjoyed the camp meeting. I have been blessed, enjoyed the preaching so much. I have been refreshed, and I thank God for getting to come and be with y'all. We love you so much. So many good friends here, And I thank God for His love, His mercy, His care, His concern. Yes. He knows our need. He knows exactly what we have need of. Yes. And He's more concerned about us and ourselves than we realize. And I'm so glad for that. And He knows exactly what you have. When you walked through that door tonight, He knew you. He saw you. He knows your name. He knows your need. He's able to meet that need if you'll give Him that chance tonight. It's good to be here. God bless you.
Goodbye, world. Goodbye, Marty. Play it fast. It's getting late. Have the voice to sing, so I want Brother Alan and Brother Hayes to come help me play. I want to play the Christian banner spangled, what would you call it, anthem. There we go. I want to play the Christian anthem, the old rugged cross.
Listen, parlors.
They get hands in our service. last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross, and I'm gonna change it and exchange it someday for a crown. One more time together. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'm gonna cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday. Lift your hands and praise Him together. We worship you, Lord. Help me tonight. Help us tonight, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. I realize it's getting late, but I want to share something. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, John chapter 19 and verse 25. I enjoyed the preaching today so much. Brother Baker, our brother Robinson, didn't he preach good in the afternoon service? Oh, that blessed my heart. I want to bury all my Josephs, don't you? And Brother Nolan, is that right? Brother Brad Nolan, he preached his heart out in that youth service. I'm telling you, bless his heart. And thank you again for the opportunity. John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Can you read it with me together? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. I love that first phrase there. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus. I would like to just preach to you just for a few minutes, if I can pull your attention together, if you'll work with me just for a little while. Standing by the cross. Standing by the cross. Lift your hand and help us pray together tonight. Jesus, we come to you humbly. We have already had a wonderful service tonight. Lord, I wouldn't want to shorten it a second. I wouldn't want to shorten it a minute. But Lord, now we've reached this moment, and I pray that you would pull our minds together. This is the last night. A lot of folks, a lot of miles to drive, even this night. I pray that your Spirit would work and move in our hearts, and most of all, the altar service. In Jesus' name we pray, giving you the glory for it and the honor for it. Amen and amen. To stand by means to be near and ready if needed. To be near and ready if needed. To stand off means to stand at a distance. But to stand by means to be near and ready if needed. How many tonight wants to stand by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? In our world and in our leaders and government and court systems running away from right decisions, we need somebody in this last day and hour in America in 2003 that will stand and take a stand for what is right. We need someone to be the standard bearer in this last day. The standard bearer is one who carries the flag and who will lead the charge. How many feels like the holiness folks should be leading the charge? Take what we've got here back home with us and lead the charge in our churches. Now let me insert something here. When you go back on fire for God to your home church, don't bawl out the ones that's not. Please. I beg you, you've just prayed through this week. Don't go back home and act like you've been prayed through for 50 years. Because they know you there. They know you there. I was in a service here a while back, and a young lady had just went to Bible school. She'd prayed through the week before. She gave the biggest bawling out to a group of church folks I've ever heard in my life. Glory to God. And she said she just prayed through the week before. So I want to share something with you to help you a whole lot with the folks that's not. Be respectful and honor those that's not. Just show them the way. Don't tell them how to do it. Show them how to do it. Folks lead a whole lot easier than they drive. I said they lead a whole lot easier than they drive. You say, where'd you learn that from? I got old parents. And they set me down one day and told me after I'd prayed through and got on fire for God to respect and honor those that doesn't feel the same way. Oh, I didn't like that. But thank God for Mom and Daddy. They told Mom and Dad, said, you should give them boys to us. There's no sense of raising them in an old folks' home in California. Mother didn't like that one bit, and Dad didn't either. They decided to keep us. I'm glad they did. They was both 35 when they had me and 39 when they had Marty. No wonder we was spoiled. There's a group of folks that says we was the meanest kids to ever come along. Then there's another group of folks that says we the sweetest boys that ever lived. Two extremes. Hopefully we're somewhere in between. I think it all depends on just who's doing the talking, how much they like me or not. Anyway, here we find ourselves in a battle and struggle between the right and the wrong, darkness and light. And we need God's help in this hour. And it's going to come from Him and Him only. Here in this text that I've just read to you, now there stood by Jesus Christ as He was hanging on the cross, bleeding, dying, suffering, pain, and agony. There stood by His cross His mother and His mother's sister and Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene and the disciple whom Jesus loved, the Apostle John. They were standing by while He was dying, bleeding, suffering, crying for our sins, our shame, the blotness in my life to set us free. They was there near the cross. But before that happened in Matthew 26 and 56, it tells us that all the disciples forsook the Lord. If A-double-L means what I think it does, that meant John too. All meant every one of them. Judas had betrayed and committed suicide by this moment. Peter had denied and cursed and said, I do not know Him. Thomas was hiding in the darkness. All the disciples was fled and confused and mourning and sorrow stricken. But somewhere during the proceedings of that night, John reconsidered. That one that leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper and at the breaking of the bread in the Lord's Supper, he reconsidered and realized, I need to get back to the cross. I need to get back close to the one I love. I need to get back close. Thank God for a second chance. Thank God for a second opportunity. Thank God there's time to reconsider. And I hope if you're here tonight and you've wandered and you're following afar off, He's brought you here so you can reconsider and come and reason together. Brought you to here so that you can stand and run near again. Thank God for a second chance. During the hardest time of Jesus' life, during His greatest suffering, during the greatest shame, during the greatest embarrassment of His life, do you know how much comfort that must have been to look down from the cross, Brother Allen, and see His mother standing by? how much comfort it must have been to see his aunt standing there. How much comfort it must have been when he saw Mary Magdalene there. When he saw the wife of Cleophas there. And then all of a sudden, stepping out of the shadows, comes John the Apostle and eases up beside the women. Now that takes a lot of nerve. He was the only man that done it. He was the only man that's registered and recognized in that verse. All the rest of them was women. Thank God for the women. It has been said that there would hardly be any Pentecost in the world if it was not for the women that has preached and propagated the gospel of Jesus Christ and Pentecost. I still believe it's the same way tonight in our holiness churches. Thank God for the women. But I believe it brought comfort to Jesus' heart. When John stepped out of the shadows and Jesus looked down through blurred eyes, blood-covered eyes and sweat and tears, and he saw the disciple whom he loved. Listen now, our U.S. flag is the symbol of our liberty and our freedom. I'm telling you, friend, tonight, if there was not for America, there'd be no missionaries around the world. America has been the greatest supporter of missions. It's been the greatest exporter of missions. It's been the greatest exporter of Bibles in the whole world. Thank God for America. You'll never know how much it costs our generation and the generations that went before us to found our country and to build a country like we have tonight. We need in this hour of apostasy, we need in this hour of falling away, somebody that will stand by that American flag and stand by that Christian flag and stand by this Word of God, the old King James Version Bible. We need some standbys that's ready if needed, that's on call, that's got their little pagers on their spiritual belt, waiting for the buzz, waiting for the vibration, waiting for the message. I need you. How many wants to be that tonight? On Calvary, Jesus stormed the strongholds of the devil and he won. Many years ago in 1944, from December 44 until February 1945, the U.S. shelled and bombed a little bitty 8-square-mile island by the name of Iwo Jima, bombed them for 3 months and fought and died. I'm telling you, friend, thousands of boys died to reclaim that island. 4,189 Americans died. 15,749 was wounded just to bring back and reclaim a little 8-square-mile area. And that's where we get the Iwo Jima Memorial, where the boys, as a flag would fall, they would run out there as it began to fall and would pick the flag back up. And it would begin to fall again, and they would pick the flag back up. By the time a few moments had passed, that old flag was cemented in place by the dead bodies of boys that was greater and stronger and worthy to live more than I am alive tonight. There's a price that was paid for the redemption of your soul. There's a price that was paid for your freedom tonight. And I believe our flag needs somebody in this last hour that will stand by. I visited Massachusetts with my family. I visited the Pilgrim's Burial Place. It has this inscription on the Plymouth Rock Monument as a challenge to every generation of America. Listen to what it says. This spot marks the final resting place of the pilgrims of the Mayflower. In weariness and hunger and in cold, fighting the wilderness and burying their dead in common graves so that the Indians would not know how many perished, they here laid the foundations of a state in which all the men of countless ages should have liberty to worship God in their own way. All you who pass by this stone,
don't remember, and dedicate yourselves anew to the resolution that you will not rest until this lofty ideal shall have been realized throughout the whole earth. There's still work to be done. We need somebody that will stand up and stand for the old glorious flag. You say, Brother Jimmy, I don't like what they're doing in America. Neither do I. I don't like the Supreme Court rulings they're making. But neither do I. But this flag doesn't stand for all of that to me. This flag stands for what she was founded upon. This flag stands for the Word of God that brought liberty to men, that founded this nation, and to the lady that made this flag. I don't know about you, but I want to stand by this flag. I'm a flag waver. I don't know about you. How many got any flag wavers out there? You want you a flagpole real cheap? Go get you a 20-foot PVC 2-inch pipe, Schedule 40. Get you a 2-inch PVC Schedule 40 cap. Get you an eye bolt to go through the top. Get you a 20-foot rail top chain link fence rail. Stick it inside that 2-inch pipe. Run your eye bolt through both. Cap it off. Take your little eagle out of your flag pack. Drill you a 3/4-inch hole. Stick him in there and glue him in there. Go to town and buy you a 3-foot, 2.5-inch Schedule 40 pipe. Dig you a hole. Put it in cement. Level it up. Get you a rope. Get you a rope tie and a little pulley. Get you a 3x5 flag, set it in your front yard, and put your old glory up into the sky, and stand by what it stands for. I'm proud to be an American tonight. I said, I'm proud to be an American tonight. I don't know about you, but I want to stand by. I want to be ready if she needs me. Liberty Bell rung July the 8th, 1776, 4 days after independence. She weighed 2,000 pounds, 12 foot from the, in the lip of circumference. It rang every 4th of July from 1778 to 1835 when it was cracked. And on this bell is engraved, we've seen it in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Leviticus 25 and 10. Brother Blue has already read it today. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. I thank God for liberty tonight. I thank God for freedom. And I feel like it deserves to be stood by. I think it deserves to be supported. I think it deserves our attention and sacred honor. John Adams, in a letter he wrote to posterity, you will never know, he said, how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it. I wonder what John Adams would think today, 2 weeks ago, when our Supreme Court ruled and legalized homosexuality in America. Dear God, we're in trouble in America. You say, well, what in the world can I do? Stand by. Stand by on your knees. Stand by in prayer. George Washington in 1776, in the heat of the Revolutionary War, he issued a general order which stated in part, the general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profanity and cursing and swearing, a vice heretofore little known in the American army, is growing into fashion. He hopes the officers will, by example as well as influence, endeavor to check it, and that both they and the men will reflect that we can have little hope of heaven on our arms if we insult it by our impiety and folly. Added to this, it is a vice so mean and low without any imitation that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. No wonder our country is great with a leader like that. Listen to what Ben Franklin says. Men, as he stood in 1776 preparing to sign the Declaration of Independence, he said, men, unless God builds this house, we labor in vain that build it. In 1783, while he was trying to get some legal things passed, he stood up and said, I remember in our struggle against Great Britain that we had prayers in this chamber. I make a motion that we pray every day at the beginning of every day, and it carried. Ben Franklin said, God will help the man that will help himself. Thank God for those men. I said, thank God for those men. I want to read to you something. When King George of England, when he heard of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, he ordered 25,000 soldiers across the Atlantic to capture and to kill the 56 signers of the 56 signers, the 25,000 soldiers against 56 men that had signed the Declaration of Independence. Lindsay Williams, in his book To Seduce a Nation, wrote, these 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, five of the signers were captured by the British traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. 9 of the 56 fought and died from the wounds of hardships of the Revolutionary War. They signed and pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners and men of means, well educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Carter Baxter of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw all of his ships and wealth swept to the sea as the British Navy sold his home to pay his debts, and he died in rags. Francis Lewis, his home and property was destroyed, and the enemy jailed his wife, and he died in a few months. John Hart was driven from his dying wife's side. Their 13 children fled for their lives. All of his land was taken. For more than a year he lived in caves and forests, returning home to find his wife dead. His children vanished. A few weeks later he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Norris and Livingston suffered the similar fates. Thomas Nelson Jr. at the Battle of Yorktown noticed the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. The owner quietly urged General George Washington to open fire, and his home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. They did all of that so that you and I could sit in a holiness camp meeting in Elko, Illinois, in July the 4th, 2000. I don't know about you, but it makes me want to stand by this flag. How many's ever visited Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C.? I walked into that sacred grounds just last May. As far as I could see was white crosses this way. I walked in and I placed my hand on some of those stones, and I realized there was boys just like me. They longed to have a family. They longed to have a wife and children. They longed to own a car and have something in this life. But they walked away from their boy girlfriends and their mothers and their dads, never to darken the front gate again, never to see America again, never to see the home place again, to just win my freedom. I stood there and tears filled my eyes, and I got this feeling like I didn't even deserve to be alive. Are you still with me tonight? 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. Verse 20 says, for you are bought for a price. In the Civil War, 38,000 Union men died for the freedom of the slave. In World War I, 126,000 Americans died and 235,000 were wounded. World War II, 300,000 Americans died and 1 million was wounded. Korea, 33,000 died and 150,000 was wounded. Vietnam, 54,000 died and 150,000 was wounded. In the island of Assam, There's a little marquee that graces that National Cemetery of American Soldiers. And it says, tell them that we gave our todays for their tomorrows. If this doesn't touch your heart, something's wrong way down deep inside. One of the smart aleck Europeans said to General Colin Powell the other day, you probably heard about it, said, all you want to do is make you another American colony in Iraq. General Colin Powell, I believe, with divine inspiration, said, sir, it was the Westminster Bishop of the Anglican Church is the one that said it. He said, sir, the only ground America's ever asked for is ground to bury our best that didn't get to come back home. And they said that assembly went quiet. And not another word was said. That's all we've ever asked for every war we've ever fought. Is just some little places in the dirt to bury boys just like me and just like you that never got to see home again. I remember in the first Persian Gulf War, we was in Virginia. I looked on the front of the USA Day, and it was a man and a lady that was embraced, and they were kissing. I thought, well, good grief. What they got that on there for? Then I walked up there, and I read underneath the picture, and it was a boy saying goodbye to his wife. And all of a sudden, my disgust turned to tears as I thought, oh, God, that could be the last embrace. That could be the last kiss. For your freedom, friend. I said, for your freedom. I said, for your freedom. Lincoln's concern one day when the Civil War was at its worst, a minister said to Lincoln, I surely hope the Lord is on our side. To which Lincoln replied, I'm not at all concerned about that, for I know that the Lord is always on the side of the right. But it is my constant anxiety and prayer is that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side. You know why we have liberty? Because we had presidents that stood by the cross and stood by the Bible and stood by truth and honesty and purity and godliness and morals. I'm still preaching about standing by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read something to you that's going to amaze you. This was written, I'll let you know later. The title of it is, If They Slip Too Far, The Light Will Go Out of America. Listen closely. The new order, the new freedom, the new day, the new outlook, the new epoch, the new economy, the new deal, the new religion, new liberalism, new war, new policy. We have overworked this word new. The practical thing, if we want to make the world over, is to try out the old word old for a while. Some of the old things that made this country great. Some of the old things are slipping, the writer said. If they slip too far, the light may go out in America. Old virtues, old religion, old faith, whole truth, integrity, honor in public office, economy in government, individual liberty, willingness to sacrifice. We have a cancerous growth of intellectual dishonesty in public life, mostly beyond the law. Our great danger is soon. Dear God, we need somebody that will stand up in this last day and stand by America for what she stands for. Let me walk right over here for a moment. This white flag stands for purity. The blue stands for the royalty of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. The cross is the cross upon which He died. The red is the color of His blood, precious blood that was shed for you and me. If there's any flag that's being dragged through the dirt of this world, it's the Christian flag. Standards are being thrown away. Holiness is being done away with. Sanctification is a word that's no longer used. But I'm here tonight to let you know there's got to be somebody that's going to stand up in this hour and in this day and stand by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is being legalized. Everything is being justified. But I want you to know there's still holiness. There's still a biblical standard. There's still things that we've got to do to keep the favor of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on standby. I want to be ready, if needed, for God to use me in this last hour and in this last day. How many wants to stand by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe it would comfort the heart of God if he would look down on Elko and see some folks that will make a commitment tonight in this service. I'm going to stand by the American flag like I never have. I'm going to stand by godliness and holiness and righteousness and the church of the living God and the living Christ. I want to stand by and be at alert and be at attention for what God wants to do with me. A long time ago, there was a missionary in the South Sea Islands that went and gave his life and he ministered to those folks. Brother Higgins was the missionary. He come down with a disease that had to have an operation. He was brought back to America. Word spread abroad that in the little islands where he had worked and flown in as an airplane pilot and missionary. Word spread around that Missionary Higgins was facing surgery. And they began to think, what are we going to do? Let's send somebody. We haven't really let him know how much we love him. So they decided to take somebody and send them to America to be there for the surgery. One of those great big old loggers from that native land stood up and said, Missionary Higgins is the one that told me about Jesus Christ. Let me be the one. Please. Tears was running down his face. They saw his passion. They gave him that great choice and he took it. And they took up an offering and bought a plane ticket and flew him to America. He got to the hospital just in time for the surgery. They was wheeling the missionary down the hallway. And this great big native logger from the South Sea Islands walked up to the bed of Missionary Higgins and stuck his great big hand out and took the missionary by the hand. He said, I've never really thank you for what you've done for me. I'm saved because of you. My wife is saved because of you. My children is saved because of you. I've come to let you know from the South Sea Islands that we love you. We love you. And he said, Missionary Higgins, I have nothing to give to you. But if you get there in that surgery and something goes wrong and you need an organ transplant, I'll be standing by the door. If you get in there and you need some skin to replace some skin that you might need, I'll be standing by the door. If you get in there and need some blood, I'll be standing by the door. Listen, I would like to have that attitude about God, about the cross, about my country, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't have much to do and I don't have much to give, but if you need me to be a missionary, I'm standing by the door. If you need me to be an evangelist, I'm standing by the door. If you need me to be a pastor, I'm standing by the door. Do we have any takers tonight? Do we have any takers tonight? I said, do we have any takers tonight? And there was standing by the cross his mother and his aunt, and Mary Magdalene, and the wife of Cleophas, and the apostle he loved. I believed it helped carry him through. I wonder if he was to look down right now where he would see you standing. Would it be like Peter, far off? Or would it be like John stepping back through the shadows to join the ladies and say, Master, I'm here. You say, did it make any difference? You're not a kid, and it made some difference. Jesus looked down and saw the apostle whom he loved, and he said, John, behold your mother. I can't take care of her anymore. You know how my brothers have treated me. They've only excommunicated me and made fun of me, but they've excommunicated Mama. And only you is going to take care of her, John. Take her home with you. History says that she went home with John, lived there until she died. The apostle whom Jesus loved. What would have happened to Mary if he hadn't come out of the shadows? You've got family too if you don't come out of the shadows. What's going to happen? I believe you agree with me. If you will please allow me to do something here. This sacred flag I love so well. How many agrees with me the flag is flying lower the longer our country goes? Desecrated. I'm going to lay this thing on it sacredly. Do you mind? There's a flag lying there. Desecrated. In our church world, this flag is nothing but a symbol. It means nothing to so many. It's laying. It's laying. It's laying on the ground. Isaiah 59 and 14 says that judgment is turned away backward. And justice has been rejected. And truth is fallen in the streets. Do I have anybody here that's as much a man as they were on Iwo Jima that would pick up that American flag, Marty, as you play the piano? How long would that flag lay there? I'm not kidding. How long is that flag going to lay there? How long is that flag going to lay there? What about this Christian flag? How long is it going to lay there? What about the truth that's fallen in the streets? How long is it going to lay there? Do we have any other standbys here tonight? We got all men. Where's the women? I want every young person. I want every adult. I want every grandpa and grandma that can. I want you to come to the front and let God know I'm standing by the door. If you need me. If you need me, God. I don't have nothing to give but my life. Yield to Him, brothers and sisters. We have been bought by a price. We're here tonight because somebody shed their blood. We're saved tonight because somebody gave their life for us. And that one is Jesus Christ. Jesus, I'll work for you. Jesus, I'll live for you. Squeeze on in, saints. There's more folks that wants to get up here. Squeeze on in. Squeeze on in.